Hello and welcome to the Sounding Out the Word podcast, a ministry of Anchor Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, Utah, where our mission is to spread the gospel, disciple the nations, and help people find hope here at Anchor Baptist Church. My name is Tyler, and joining me in studio today is Pastor Jason Atwood, pastor at Anchor Baptist Church. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to the podcast today.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. We've titled this episode, Abide, Don't Backslide.
That's right.
And I think this will be a very good message for the Christians out there who maybe have had a season of distance from Christ.
You know, everybody has. I think, you know, I guess it depends on how far someone does backslide. And there's definitely different viewpoints of backsliding. Some even falsely believe that if you do backslide, you, of course, lose your salvation. We know that's not biblical. But yeah, there are periods and there are seasons of all of our lives as a Christian where we aren't where we should be as a child of God. Our fellowship isn't where it should be.
Yeah, and just to really quickly, you know, add in there, in Ephesians 4:30, we're told that, you know, when we believe, when we put our faith in Christ, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit for that day of redemption. So there is no loss of salvation. I would like to make a distinction, though. So there are the Christians that have truly put their trust in Christ. They have that true saving faith. And, you know, due to whatever their circumstances might be, whether it's a lack of spiritual feeding or worldly distractions, they have for a season become distant and cold to the things of God. And that's, you know, like you said, that's not a place where you want to be, but it's a place that I think there is some, you know, biblical examples and maybe how you get out of that. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. I think the other case that we'll talk about too is the person who has maybe never truly put their faith in Christ. They've never come to that saving faith, but they've kind of test-driven Christianity. They've gone to church because maybe their family made them go to church. And they, you know, honestly, if they've fallen away, they really are in a bad state because they've kind of had a sample. They maybe have turned away from the possibility of believing, and we want to make an admonition, an exhortation to those people to really get right with God.
Yeah, the Bible talks about, you know, when some have heard the truth and turned away from it, they become a twofold child of hell. The Bible also talks about, and when Jesus was here on the earth, you know, he told accounts of people where they had been free from demon possession and yet did not turn to Christ in salvation. Well, what happens? The demon returns with more and even stronger because there was that vacuum left in their life when they didn't turn to Christ when they had an opportunity to. So certainly there are those that never put their faith in Christ for salvation, and they may mistake what they think is backsliding for actually a need for true biblical salvation. But you're right. You mentioned there in Ephesians 4:30, where we're sealed with the Spirit. The Bible talks about the fact that when we're saved, we become sons of God. And so there's an important distinction in the Bible made. When we become sons of God, we have a relationship change. Father to a son that cannot be undone.
Yeah.
Just like a biological parent to a child that cannot be undone. You can change your name, you can break fellowship, but you cannot break that relationship. And so that's what we're talking about this morning, I think, is backsliding is that broken, not relationship, because you can't break that.
Right.
It's that broken fellowship with
right.
God.
Yeah, and you know, that can severely damage your ability to be a good testimony, a good witness. And if you're backslidden for a season, right, you're maybe going through some difficult things and you haven't turned to God for help. I think moreover, though, if you're backslidden for a long period of time, think of all the souls that you've maybe missed out that you could have witnessed to, all those souls you could have potentially won to Christ. But I do want to talk about in Mark 14, verses 27 through 30, and it's also paralleled in John 13:38. Jesus kind of lays out a demonstration here with the Apostle Peter that there will be times where we might end up backsliding. And so we see this when Jesus tells Peter, you know, before the cock crows, you will deny me thrice,
right?
And this is referring to the fact that when Jesus is taken away to go face Pontius Pilate, to go get crucified, people are pointing to Peter and saying, hey, aren't you one of his followers? Aren't you one of his followers? And Peter's like, no, it's not me. It's not me. And we go through this whole thing where Peter's denying Christ. In a sense, he's backslidden because he doesn't want to associate with Christ.
Sure.
But because he is a saved person, because he has that, when Jesus is resurrected from the dead, he restores Peter. He catches them out on the fishing boat, and
right.
And he's, Peter, do you love me? And he says them three times, and he gets restored as a child of God, as someone who can be useful to the cause of Christ.
Yeah, there definitely always is that restoration that God desires. Anytime one of his children are away, whether it be chastening or whatever it might be, the goal of our Father is to restore us back to himself. You know, a lot of times when we think about backsliding, many times people always think, well, it was an accidental. You know, because there's that word, and it's part of the word backsliding, that second part of that word is sliding. And so we always think that that's sort of an accidental thing that happens. I just fell into sin. I slid backwards. But it's interesting when you look in the Old Testament, the word backsliding is actually pretty intentional. It actually has the idea of a cow, you know, placing its hooves in front of its head and keeping someone from pulling it forward. Mm-hmm. And it's an actual intentional thing whereby a cow, an animal, a person doesn't want to go in the way that they should go. And so backsliding is really intentional in the way that we know what the Bible says, we know what God expects of us, and yet there is a period, there's a season in our life where we neglect maybe certain things that keep us from where we should be in our fellowship with the Lord.
Well, and I think too, you know, people often mistake the idea of this is hard in the flesh, this is difficult to do, with accidental. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, each and every one of us is faced with a choice when it comes to being obedient and serving God. Are we going to do the thing that is maybe difficult in the flesh, say, you know, share the gospel with somebody, say, you know, not drink alcohol, you know, whatever God calls us to do. And we will call it an accident when in reality, we just weren't strong enough to overcome the desires of the flesh on our own. And really that's a good indication that you need to turn back to the prayer closet, you know, get on your knees before God and pray for that strength and for that wisdom. But, you know, with this sort of backsliding, if you are a child of God, again, the Bible sets a good precedent for, how God will come and chase after us. He won't let us stray away. He will chasten us to get us back on track. And we see that in Luke 15, the parable of the good shepherd who looks after a lost sheep.
Yeah, God is always going to go after that one who is a child of his and who is astray. And even in that parable there, the good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one. And that shows you God's great love and care and concern for the backslider. And really, that's an example for us, not just an encouragement to us when we are backslidden, but an example for us in how to deal with a backslider.
Yeah.
We don't condone what they're doing. We don't aid them in their backsliding, but we certainly pray for them, and we seek restoration because that's what God wants.
Well, and I think what you might be getting at there too is kind of the role of the church too.
Sure,
if there's a backslidden member, like I think it's a, we should take it upon ourselves to reach out to help in any way, whether that's, you know, just a check-in, hey, how are you doing? We haven't seen you in a while, or inviting them to a new ministry at the church, or whatever the case might be.
Yeah, a lot of that is actually preventative. I mean, because, you know, sadly, when someone gets to the place where they backslide and they're hurting the cause of Christ, there is the aspect of church discipline. But even before that, there ought to be a lot of preventative things that take place in the life of a Christian among their fellow church members. Like you said, a text message, hey, how's it going? Mm-hmm. An email, hey, we missed you at church. We missed you at the Sunday school class. We missed you at the fellowship, whatever it is. And there's that aspect of looking out for each other, to really kind of prevent some of the backsliding before it actually takes place fully.
Right, yeah. I definitely think a healthy church environment will do that. It will seek after members. It will be outwardly focused, and it will be inwardly focused in the sense that we want to prevent anyone from falling away, because there is, you know, there's the service aspect to the obedience of God, but there's also just a care for the person, right? What what sort of life are you living if not living for Christ? I certainly haven't found one that's fulfilled from the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, praise God that that when he saved me, he put me in a church that is in service to God. And I've found a ton of fulfillment from that. And if I ever backslid, I know for a season, I'd be like, well, what's even the point? But you come back to church, you serve God, and you find real meaning. You find meaning knowing that the God of the universe, your creator, your father, the almighty God is using you mm-hmm. for his purposes.
And that's what we want to foster at Anchor Baptist Church, is that spirit of helping one another in our walk with the Lord. You know, sometimes there can be an aspect of certain churches where everybody does their own thing, and you come and go and you see each other on a Sunday morning and you wave from across the aisle and that's about it. But there ought to be that real genuine care and concern for each other that carries over beyond the church service times, and really where we're a part of each other's lives, where we're helping one another walk with the Lord. We're kind of holding each other's feet to the fire, if you will, and saying, hey, how's it going? What's going on? Let's serve the Lord and let's move forward for the cause of Christ.
Well, the term too is brothers and sisters in Christ, not like work acquaintances in Christ.
Exactly.
So yeah, much like my own brother and sister, if I see you maybe doing something that isn't biblical or maybe stands against or hurts the cause of Christ, you better believe that, you know, I'm going to lovingly come in and show you and come to you with where you're mistaken. And my hope is that, you know, we restore you from that and that it, like you said, it's a preventative measure.
Let's talk about that a little bit. How does that differ, what you just said about going to a brother who is struggling and maybe even to the point of doing wrong? How does that differ from micromanaging someone's life?
Yeah, so when you're micromanaging someone's life, you're in their case all the time. You're watching every single thing that they do. Maybe you're checking in every 5 minutes, or, you know, more realistically, like every day.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't see you at this thing. I didn't see you at that thing. When, you know, we're not called to micromanage each other, but we're called to know each other and to have that fellowship, to have that relationship, and when we can see, I mean, you know it, right? Like you have a brother, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if he were to start, hey Jason, I went and found these guys who are selling me some, you know, illicit things. You tell him like no, because you see the pattern. You see the pattern of disobedience starting to form, and so too with the church members. I'm not, you know, we're not saying every 5 minutes, you know, check in on the person, make sure they're doing right. But have that relationship strong enough to where you can see if they start to fall off the path.
Sure. And we understand as far as micromanaging someone's life, you know, if someone is saved, and we're talking about in a church atmosphere here, so they would be, they're saved, born again church member, just like yourself. We also have to understand that they have the same Holy Spirit in their life that you have in your life.
Right.
And so the one who is convicting you about sin should be convicting them about sin. Now, they can be more calloused, or you can be more calloused, or whatever it might be. But that kind of takes away the need to micromanage someone's life.
Yeah.
Because they have the Holy Spirit, they have the Word of God, and hopefully, if they're in church like they're supposed to be, they're hearing the same message that you're hearing, and God can help us grow together in that. So don't misunderstand, if you're listening today, there's not a desire to micromanage someone's life. The Bible doesn't give us that. But there is certainly that desire to sharpen iron. Proverbs talks about iron sharpeneth iron. Mm. And so certainly there is that aspect of Christian brotherhood and sisterhood.
So really quickly, as we talk about you know, what it means to backslide and kind of the responsibility of the members of a church to preventatively try and stop someone from falling into backsliding. You know, obviously, like you said, we don't need to micromanage. We can rely on the Holy Spirit. But what about for the listener who's maybe listening to this, who's identified themselves? Yeah, I'm a backslidden Christian. You know, the Holy Spirit is talking to them right now, and they want to know maybe how to get back to being a faithful serving Christian. Do you have any tips, anything you've run into during your ministry where you've been able to see people kind of come out of that?
Sure. I mean, I would first encourage them to examine themselves to see if they are saved, and if they can go back to a time and place when they know they've met the Lord. And I had a church member, a really good church member years ago, describe it that way. Do you know you've met the Lord? And when you answer that question, that's not a question of if or maybe or I'm not sure, but you know you've come face to face with the Lord, His holiness, and you've trusted Him as your Savior. If you have, well, let's move forward from that. Let's determine how we're going to get right with God, how we're going to restore that fellowship that He desires. And yeah, you see it. I would encourage them to start reading their Bible faithfully every day, and not just for a certain amount of time or a certain amount of scripture, but read asking God to speak to their heart and reveal their true spiritual needs to themselves. Once that is done, we're of course faced with a decision. Am I going to do what the Holy Spirit showed me I need to do? The second thing I would say, and this is so often overlooked in today's society, and that is to get faithfully involved in church. And faithful doesn't mean once a Sunday morning, every other week. That is faithfully get involved in church. That is Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. That is fully immerse yourself in the local New Testament church where God has placed you, where you got off track. And again, don't go with a mentality to change them. Don't go with a mentality to see where they're wrong, but truly go with a mentality to soak up all that you can, not just for a week or for a month, but have the mentality, I am here for the rest of my life, and I'm all in.
Yeah, it's a commitment. It's immersing yourself in the things of God, and like the hymn says, the things of this world will grow strangely dim because you are focused on the things of God. You're focused on serving our Lord and Savior. So
why don't you tell us how it's affected your life of really, really getting involved? Because, I mean, you drive 35, 40 minutes one way to church.
Yeah, it really has been, in some ways, you know, in the flesh, I look at that and I'm like, oh man, that could be, that's such a long drive. I'm really tired today. I don't want to do it. But the more I've gotten involved, the more I've immersed myself in what we do here at Anchor Baptist Church, in serving God and in worshiping faithfully. And really the things of this world, like the hymn says, have grown strangely dim. And I look forward to that drive now. I look forward to coming here and recording a podcast and spreading the word of God and talking about the things of God, because that, you know, the more you do it, it builds up momentum. You find fulfillment. You find, you really find a joy in knowing that Almighty God of the universe is using you for some amount of good. And that's just a wonderful feeling.
Yeah. And it really is about priority. We've all been given the same amount of time, but it's about what we're going to do with it. You've been listening to Sounding Out the Word podcast, a ministry of Anchor Baptist Church, and we're so thankful you've been listening, and we're thankful for the way that God is using this to reach people in this valley, and really thankfully because of internet around the world. And God bless you for listening today. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us at SOTW, Sounding Out the Word, SOTW@anchorbaptistslc.org. And certainly if you're in the area, we would love to have you come and visit us in person at one of our church services. You can find us online and our location at anchorbaptistslc.org. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.